Good to be back. Some of us haven't gone anywhere, but we're back anyways. Amen. And I want to say thank you to all of you. You know, you feel helpless when you're away and people are, you have funerals to look after and all kinds of things are happening. And so thanks to Shannon for taking all her days off and and helping you all and all your families and being there. We were praying for you. And we're so thankful for all of you, the ladies that filled in for the lunches and all that kind of stuff. Man, God bless you all. And those of you that are online that were part of this, I thank you. We had a great time away, but we certainly, in our hearts, feel, you know, this is home. And this is our family here. So, this has just been a weird summer, hasn't it? We're on the computer this morning, just at the back there before church started, and found out that Jamie's half-brother passed away in April in Red Deer. Now, her mom passed away when she was born, and her dad took off with another woman, and so then they had two children, and Jamie's lost both of them. But there's not a lot of communication there, and I feel for her, because, like, how do we know? They're going to have a celebration of his life now in September, and it's like, okay. Okay, how many other people are out there that are in the ground right now, you know? But we've got to get as many saved as possible. Amen. And get them into the kingdom. Amen. Then 10,000 years from now, we're not going to worry about it, because we'll be together forever. But, we're glad to be back. I had a great trip. I'm going to use a little bit of as a backdrop to the message this morning. Our message is on identity, and identity is so important. One of the things I'm going to tease you with a little bit this morning is, you know, when you're away and you're on the train, we're only in the daylight hours on the train, but yeah, we get up 5 o'clock in the morning and we get into Kamloops at 9:30 at night. That's a pretty full day. But anyways, you know, you get pondering and meditating. And weird things come to your mind, but good things. And I was thinking of a couple of scriptures, one by Paul and one by James. You ever come across scriptures in the Bible, you think, well, this is not what it says over here, but it says this here. Let me give you a couple examples. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, or Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we are justified by faith apart from works. Okay, I'll go with that. But then James says, we are justified by works and not faith alone. Uh-oh. I'll just let you think about that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, cosmos. And then 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, love not the cosmos, or anything there in the world. So there you go, something to chew on for the next week, but I'm not going to talk about that today. I'll just let you think about that. Amen. And actually, they don't... They do not contradict each other in reality. We had the privilege last week of going to our home church in Edmonton to Richfield, and put it this way, it's a lot different than when I grew up in that church, I'll tell you that, even since Jamie first came there. And I'm trying to think, like, when did this church start playing rock music on Sunday mornings? It's different. Time's changing, generation's changing, and, you know, and the same thing here. Like, we're looking, man, if you have a passion for something, we'll get her going next week if you want. Like, we don't want to leave everything for a year, because or else we'll be in the same spot we are right now. We need to find out where your passion is, what your vision is, and we'll support that. You know, so often, you know, everybody waits for the pastors. What's your vision? Well, our vision is to fulfill your vision and to help you get where God wants to take you to the next step. And that's part of our whole thing. We got some ideas, but this is a body, and we want the body to function. Amen. So it's good to be home. And I had a lot of stories I was going to tell you about, but I can't remember now. But anyways, we'll get to the Word, and we'll leave the stories alone. And find out where I am here now. Oh, you guys have issues? Okay, you know what? I'll just read the scripture. The scripture this morning is from Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. Pick up your phone or your Bible or whatever you got there, and I'm going to read from the Passion Translation, Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, and it's a little wordy, so that's why I took it out of the Passion, because King James, NIV is like, okay, whatever. And it's got to do with identity. And Paul says, I write to you, dear brothers and sisters, ta-da, who are familiar with the law. Well, you're not so familiar with the law as they were back then. At least I hope you're not. But he's talking to people that were familiar with the law. And he's making a point here about identity. And so just follow that through and think of identity as he shares. Don't you know that when a person dies, it ends his obligation to the law? For example, a married couple is bound by the law to remain together until separated by death. But when one spouse dies, the other is released from the law of the marriage. So then, if a wife is joined to another man while she's still married, she commits adultery. But if her husband dies, she is obviously free from the marriage contract and may marry another man without being charged with adultery. So, my dear brothers and sisters, the same principle applies to your relationship with God. For you died to your first husband, the law, by being co-crucified with the body of the Messiah, or Jesus as you know him. So you now are free to marry another, the one who was raised from the dead, so that you may now bear spiritual fruit for God. When we were merely living natural lives, the law, through defining sin, actually awakened sinful desires within us, which resulted in bearing the fruit of death. But now we have been fully released from the power of the law. We are dead to what once controlled us, and our lives are no longer motivated by the obsolete way of the following the written code, so that now we may serve God by living in the freshness of a new life in the power of the Holy Spirit. So our identity now is not through rules and regulations. Our identity is through Jesus. He is our groom. Whereas, like before, you know, the wife couldn't divorce the husband. Only the husband could divorce the wife. So our husband or our groom, Jesus, now that's who we identify with. So I hope that gets through in one way or another this morning, because it's very important. People are having trouble with identity today, even in the natural. They have trouble identifying whether they're male or female. Well, I'll tell you this. God created you in your mother's womb, male or female, and he has a plan for your life. And it's been laid out since before the foundation of the world, and I think that God's a little smarter than me. So if he's made me a male, I think that I'm going to go with that. Because sometimes we think we're smarter than God, and all we do is get confused. And we don't know what our identity is. You know, just being on this crazy train ride on the Rocky Mountaineer, you know, as soon as you mentioned it to somebody, because people have been looking at it, and then they kind of look at the price, and it is a little pricey. It's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And they said, oh, you were on the Rocky Mountaineer? Oh, what was that like? It's like, okay, we never had that identity before we went on this ride. And so, you know, do you have any information? Yeah, we have a video. You want to see the DVD? You can borrow it, whatever. We got information. Anyways, you know, but the cool thing, there's a number of things I learned on this. Taking a vacation is good because it causes you to slow down. So you don't need to be running everywhere. And you know, our day trips in Vancouver got canceled because of that COVID thing. So we had 3 days downtown Vancouver. And when you're downtown Vancouver, you're either going uphill or you're going downhill when you're walking. There's no getting around it. You might go downhill to begin with, but if you're going to get back to the hotel, you got to come back uphill again. And so, so you kind of slow down. Like, what's the rush? The hotel's going to be waiting for us when we get back there. You know, so we did walked all over the place and enjoyed a lot of scenery but it taught me to, you know, it's like I got this from my mother. She walked like crazy, trying to keep up to my mom. And so then I started walking just as fast. And it's like after a while, there's no reason. You're gonna get to that point anyways. And whether you get there in 2 minutes or 5 minutes, it doesn't really matter. And the same with driving. It's like, man, people are in a panic these days. And so anyways, he's got me slowed down. But also, you know, we go into a, you're in a different hotel most nights. You want to, I always pray when I go in there and just sanctify the room, so to speak. But, you know, you might be in a different hotel every night, but it's the same Holy Spirit. And every night when we pray together, and you, it's the same presence of the Lord is there. It doesn't matter. You know, you saw that. We had that picture up here of Lake Louise. That's exactly what it looked like out our bedroom. They gave us this beautiful room centered in the hotel looking right out on the lake. It's like, hey, we have favor. Praise the Lord. But yeah, the same love of God. It doesn't matter what your circumstances there are, or if there's inconsistency in the world around you. You know, they're just getting started up again on this crazy train. And they've had up to 1,300 and some people go from Vancouver to Calgary. We had 64. That was it. We got pampered. We got pampered, and we totally enjoyed it. But, you know, it doesn't matter what the world around you is. There's no shadow of turning with God. He's there. And that's the cool thing about being in a different place. And we come back home, and he's still there. Amen. Every night, he's there. There's no shadow of turning. You know, we went through a number of places from Vancouver to Kamloops, then Kamloops, we went to Calgary through the Rogers Pass. And I mentioned this to a number of people here, you know, but being born and raised in Edmonton, we had a number of relatives in Vancouver. So back then it was the CNR through Jasper, the CPR through Banff. So we went coach, of course. Cost me $14 return back then. And so we would do the circle. We'd either go to Vancouver on the CNR and come back CPR or vice versa. And so I really enjoyed that, you know, the Rogers Pass and all the stuff that's in there is beautiful scenery, just beautiful scenery. And we're sitting in this double-decker dome car and just enjoying it all. The nature of God, boy, God's creative, and he's still creative, and you got his creative mind in you. You have the mind of Christ, and let that creative work in you. But, you know, we're through that Hell's Gate, for starters, and then we got to a small town by the name of Lytton, British Columbia, and some of you have seen that, and the conductor said, we would please ask that you put your phones away and your cameras away because this town is totally wiped out by the fire. And the train goes above it and total devastation. I think there was a couple of buildings that were not touched. It's just totally wiped out by the fire. So sad. But it also tells you, stuff on this earth is just stuff on this earth. What's important is you identify with Jesus. Well, you got life forever. And so, yeah, there's all of the niceness of the Rogers Pass. And I don't know if you guys ever, because I remember from a kid, the spiral tunnels. You know, you go in, when you're coming from Vancouver, you go in, and then you do a left-hand turn, and then you come up, and you go outside, then you go back into the next mountain and do a right-hand turn, and then you come up and get over the pass that way. And, you know, that was done in, what, 19-something or other. And they didn't have all the technical stuff they have today. They didn't have the satellites to help them and all of the computers and all that. You know, when they built those spiral tunnels, they came from either side, from the top side and from the bottom side. And they came within 2 centimeters of meeting each other as a perfect circle. Now, if you go talk about that tunnel under the English Channel, that was a mess. but they didn't have that. But they brought some guys over from Switzerland that knew about drilling in mountains. And these guys knew what they were doing. And that Connaught Tunnel, it's 5 miles long. And it's on a gentle incline or decline, depending which way you're going. And on a clear day, you can actually see a pinhole at the bottom. That is so accurate. so accurate. And again, they didn't have all the technology we have today. But I thank God that God gives talents and abilities. You know, you don't get far into Genesis and that. You start reading about God giving all of these giftings to people, whether metal workers or gold workers or brass workers or stone men. God gives us gifts. Let us glorify him with our gifts. Amen. It's good. And so we see that. We see that in the world around us as well. And then there's a little community called Canoe. And they brought our attention. They said, if you look out to the left-hand side of the train, there's going to be a lady and her husband waving. Everybody waves. I don't know how many times we were just waving the whole time. Everybody likes to wave at trains when they go by, so we're just all waving by and back to them. But this gal, she's been doing it for years. And here's the cool thing about it. She never worried about when the passenger train was coming, because I don't know what kind of dog she had, but her dog knew the difference between the sound of the passenger train and the freight train. So when the passenger train was coming, he barked. So they went out there and they waved. So this really intrigued the, you know, the people working on the train, and they did something they're not supposed to do. One time they said, we're going to stop this train. We're going to go talk to her. And you're not supposed to do that, but they did that, and they found out who she was and what made her tick and all this kind of thing. And so they purposed that day, we're going to give her and her husband a free train ride so she can see what it's like from our side. And so they did that. And so I don't know if the dog died or what, but what they do now is they give her a beeper kind of thing that will let them know, the conductor can let them know, or the engineer can let her know when the train is approaching. And so then she knows, so they're waiting. Just so many little neat things along the way. I found out why the Bow River got its name. The Bow River got its name because that's where the native people used to get their wood, by the side of that river, to make their bows and arrows. Well, okay, that makes sense. And here's another thing I learned. The Banff Springs Hotel, okay, the guy who decided to, I think he was superintendent of CP, he decided, we got to have a hotel by this beautiful Bow River. And so he laid plans, and so they were going to build it with all of the suites facing one direction. So lucky for him, he came back in time before they got going, and he looked at the plans, and something's not right here. They had the hotel facing the mountain, not the river. And it's like, that would have been disaster if it would have done this beautiful river and valley in front of you, and you're just looking at a bunch of trees. And so that got changed. And but their identity, you know, identity, yeah, Jean Savage, you know, talked to her son this past week, and there's a woman that identified with Jesus, her and Jack. They had quite the story, but their center was Jesus. I mean, they rode stock cars. They drove against each other on ice races. And I have a black bear skin there in our house that Jack gave me. He had numerous trophies. He'd go down to the States for his shooting, target shooting and that, and they did so many things, camping and fishing, and she had an awesome garden. I saw pictures of her garden, and they love life. And I missed not dropping in on them, you know, but being able to drop in and hear those stories. And they're gone. But in talking to, I'll see him again one day. And Jack will probably still have some stories to tell me. But, you know, in talking to her son, it's like, this is awesome, our identity with Jesus. You know, he said that she passed away Tuesday night. Sorry, you know what's coming. The nurse got off Tuesday morning and was just getting ready to go home. She said to Jean, Jean, I'm leaving now. We'll see you tonight. You know what Jean said? She says, I'm not going to be here. She knew she was going home. That's the kind of identity we need. That identity with God, that God says, okay, say your goodbyes. because you're coming home with me tonight. You know, I don't know. Maybe you're visiting. Maybe somebody here, but maybe somebody is watching this morning or whenever you watch it, and you're visiting a relative or friend. You're on vacation or whatever, but you don't know Jesus yet. You know what? You don't have to have an altar call to get to know. I'll just share you the scripture right now. You can get Jesus in the next 30 seconds as your Savior and Lord. And let me explain to you how this is going to happen. Here's very easy. If you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, I want you to just take this scripture serious right now. And you don't have to worry another second where you're going to spend eternity. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. If you prayed that with me, shared that with me, believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, best thing to do is to confess it to somebody. Say it out loud to somebody that I just received Jesus as my Savior and Lord today. Amen. Don't put it off another day. Amen. I just found that was such a cool confession. And then the boys in the evening, they were both there to see as her mom passed away. And one was telling me, he said, you know, because I've been in that room. It's a tiny room. And so you can only get one by the bed, and then the other guy has to sit on the other side of the room, and that's not very far away. But he says, you know, I guess I was just getting on in the evening, and I just had this feeling. And I said to my brother, I said, is mom's eyes open? And he said, yeah. But he said, I had this feeling. He went, took her hand, and when he did that, she passed. I'll tell you, identity with Jesus is awesome. He never leaves you or forsakes you, and he lets you know what's going on. Praise the Lord. Thank God for reality in Christ. Amen. Oh, yeah. Did you get this thing going? Well, that's okay. All right. I was just going to show the train. That's the kind of car that we were in, and up on the top you have assigned seats, and then below is the dining room, and so it's just totally awesome. They it's like we can't go anywhere. It's like they couldn't believe we didn't want dessert. It's like I've been eating all day. You guys have been feeding, and all you can do is go up and down. Now there is a place at the end there where you can go outside actually. But it's like, it's about 10-foot square. It's like you can't do a lot of laps in there kind of thing. that's what it looks like. Anyways, so we want to make our identity with Jesus. Holy smokes. It's a lot bigger on my paper. I don't know what happened there. But here, the whole idea of this scripture that I shared with you from Romans chapter 7 about that you're dead to the law. When the husband dies, the wife is free to marry. The law has been fulfilled in Christ. Therefore, he is our identity. He is our identity. And so we don't want to commit spiritual adultery. And this is where we get tied up in our performance. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. You ever find yourself talking to God that way? I have. And it's like, wait a minute. This is not getting me anywhere with God. It's Jesus that's got me somewhere with God. And out of that relationship with him, we're saved to do good works. So this is kind of the gist. It's really simple this morning. Just really simple. Remember, your identity is in Christ, not on your performance. In fact, we were just talking about that this morning. Sam and I and Jamie, we were talking about, you know, so often people retire and within a year they're dead. And one of the reasons that happens is because if your belief system is tied up in your performance, when you're not performing anymore, there's no reason for you to live. And so you're just self-destruct. You know, that doesn't happen all the time. But yeah, we don't want to be our performance. Anyways, we're going to put a caboose on this here. And I have no idea why that's so small. Galatians 2, 20, 21, Paul puts it really simply, I have been crucified with Christ, so I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained by the law, Christ died for nothing. But righteousness cannot be gained through the law, just a consciousness of sin. But in Christ, we have full redemptive redemption and everlasting life. Amen. Isn't that good news? We got lots of people to share that with. And we got a world. We got to fill up this church again and get some excitement about who we are in Christ. Amen. All right.